It's good to see everybody back at worship tonight. I know it's been a long, hot day with the singing this afternoon and worship this morning, so it's good to see everybody back tonight. I've titled this sermon, A Potpourri of Thoughts We Have, and it's an accumulation of things that I've heard people say over a period of time. And I thought, well, you know, maybe there's enough people that have a problem with some of these things that we ought to put some verses with it and see what God has to say. So, you know, we hear these things, he said, she said, they said, I said. Somewhere, maybe between the four of them, somebody's right. Sometimes it's hard to get to the problem. It's hard to get to the true answer. On a he said, she said basis, maybe neither one of them really knows. I said, they said, who knows? But when we get to the point where we say and God says, now we have a difference. We have the truth coming at us as to what is appropriate. These verses that I want to look at tonight, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on any one of them. There's 15 of them I want to look at, so we got about a minute or two with each one. There's probably verses that you may use in your own life with some of these difficulties and some of these questions that come up that you may use. These are just some that I picked out to go with what, you know, what the sayings are. These verses primarily are applied to being saved or to our salvation. I also want you to look at this as we talk about this tonight, how they might apply in your own everyday life. Because we get to a point sometimes where we just throw our hands up in the air and say, I ain't doing this no more. I'm done. And we've heard, maybe not ourselves, but we've heard people do this with religion. I've got friends that used to be elders and deacons in the church that no longer even attend worship. And I don't know, I don't have a reason. I don't know why. Other than, I'm just not doing this anymore. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. Whatever it might be. So I just want to take a quick look at some of these things that come up in people's everyday lives as we talk about this tonight. We think negative a lot of times. And these verses, these things that I've got tonight are all on the negative side, but God thinks positive. And for all the negative things that we'd have to say to ourselves, God has a positive answer. You won't see any negativity in God's word. It's all positive. And it's all centered around follow me. It's all centered around obedience and faith. So if, as we look at this tonight, and I just, you know, a couple of them I've got faith involved with, but if we just apply the word faith to what we're going to hear tonight, and not only in our religious lives, but also in our daily lives, I think it'll make more sense. So I want to go to Luke 18, verse 27 first. Luke 18, verse 27. We had this either in class or in a sermon last week or the week before where Bruce had talked about it, I believe. It was in a sermon. And it's a story about Jesus talking to a ruler and telling the ruler what it was going to take to inherit eternal life. And he told the ruler, he said, you don't commit adultery, you don't commit murder, you don't steal, you don't bear false witness, you honor your father and mother. And the ruler said, that's great. I got all that going on. No problem. Then Jesus said, you need to give everything up and follow me. And that's when the ruler kind of went backwards on him because he was a very wealthy guy and he just couldn't or wouldn't do that. And then Jesus said, it's hard, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. And he goes on, he says, for it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And in verse 27, verse 26, he says, and those who heard it said, who can be saved? And verse 27, he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. So there's times that we hear or we say, it's just impossible. Well, if we have faith in God and we have what the obedience to God that we need, right here, it says things that are impossible with men are possible with God. We shouldn't think that anything is impossible. Matthew 11. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. I've heard this from older Christians more than anyone. I'm just too tired. Been there, done that. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm tired. I'm worn out. We say, I'm too tired. God says in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Sometimes we just get sometimes where that load's too hard to bear. It's too heavy to carry. But God says, if you do it my way, my yoke is easy. My burden with you is light. Do we believe that? If we do, we'll never throw our hands up in the air and say, I'm too tired. Or it's impossible. Thirdly, we go to John 3:16. We all know what that says. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We say, and I hear this, nobody really loves me. I've been there. Times of depression. We live in a society today. Somebody's doing something wrong. They've got mental problems. Or they've got depression. Or they've got this, or they've got that. I'm not saying to discount that, because a lot of times it is true, but let's not use that as an excuse to not do what we need to do. John 13, 34. Says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. God loved us so much he gave his only Son. Can we not share that same love back one to another and to God? Nobody really loves me. That's what we say. God says, I love you. Where you been? Come in. My yoke's easy. My burdens are light. We have God's love. We also have each other's love. What fails us is world. Sometimes our friends and our family leave us feeling alone. We've got some family that don't really want much to do with us. I know we're not alone, because we've talked to some others that have the same issues. That can leave us feeling alone. Friends that we thought were friends, that terminology today, they ghost us. That leaves us, you know, feeling alone. Well, what are we doing? Why are we even here? God says, I love you. 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. And lest I shall be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. This is Paul speaking. A messenger of Satan to buffet or beat me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We know the story of Paul. He was beaten. He was left out of town for dead. He was shipwrecked. He was on the road to Damascus, and God struck him down and turned his life around. He persecuted Christians all of his pre-life before becoming a Christian. And as hard as he persecuted Christians, he came to the other end of the spectrum and taught Christianity. But Paul didn't live an easy life. And when we come to the point, says, I can't go on. I do this myself. Let's look at Paul. You look at what that man did for God and for the people that he loved, Timothy and Titus and all the guys that worked with him and the churches that he set up. He never once said, I can't go on. He did what he had to do. He stayed the course. We know that life of Paul. We know what he went through. And we hit a little bit of roadblock and we go, I can't go on. I ain't doing this no more. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Verse 5, it says, this is all you need to know, actually. Peg and I joke about that. There's a commercial on TV, and a little girl goes, and that's all you need to know. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. If you do that, nothing's going to get to you. But it goes on to say, and lean not on your own understanding. We try to do things on our own, don't we? How many times does that work out for us? Sometimes. But there's times we need God. There's times that we need our fellow brothers and sisters for prayers or a helping hand. Lean not on your own understanding. In all ways, acknowledge Him. That's God. It doesn't say in some ways. It doesn't say part of the time. It says in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And then what? He shall direct your path. So we say to ourselves, I just can't figure things out. I got no clue what's going on. We work with people, we study with people about Christianity. Say, I can't figure this out. Comes down to trust, comes down to faith, comes down to obedience. Those three things, you can figure anything out. God said, don't lean on your own understanding. Lean on me. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. If you'll do all that, He'll direct our path. So we get in a position to say, I just can't figure things out. I have to ask why. Let God help you. Trust and faith. And let God help you. Philippians 4. Somehow I always end up in Philippians. Me and everybody else that sits in this pulpit or stands in this pulpit, somewhere along the way, we get to Philippians. This is a letter I like. I love it. There's a lot of instruction here. Paul loved the church in Philippi. He gave them a lot of praise. He gave them a lot of instruction. Chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, he tells his church, he says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everything in all things I have learned, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He's been there. He's been hungry. He's been full. He's been hungry for spirit. He's full of spirit. Whatever life threw at him, we just talked about Paul, but whatever life threw at him, he was able to handle it. He knew the lows. He knew the highs. He knew all the ups and downs. And then he goes on in verse 13, and he says, I can do all things. Now, he didn't stop there with just I can do all things, did he? He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He didn't try to do it on his own. He did it through Christ. He did it because Christ strengthened him to be able to do it. So Paul knew the ups and downs of life, yet he could conquer anything through Christ. I just can't do it. That's what we say. God says you can do all things through Christ. Quit trying to do it on your own. 2 Corinthians 9. We use this on the table sometimes when we get ready to give back to God and thank Him for the blessings that He gives us. It reads this way, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Let's stop right there for a second, and let's not consider that to be money. Let's consider that to be our knowledge to someone else. He says, if you sow it sparingly, you're going to reap it sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. Then he goes on, verse 7, he says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Again, this is about money, but I want you to think about it just for a minute in sharing of knowledge, in sharing of yourself. And he goes on in verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. So we go, I'm not able to do all this. God says, yeah, I am able. God will provide what we need. But if He opens the door for you, you got to be smart enough to walk through the door and take advantage of the opportunities that He's given to you, the opportunities that are in front of you. I'll make an abundance for you. We live in a society today, yeah, there's things that we don't like, there's things that are going on we don't like, but we are very blessed. As a society, we're very blessed as Christian people. We don't have persecutions. Very seldom does, you know, we read about different things about happens to churches, some, you know, buildings get, you know, torched or something, but it's seldom compared to the amount of churches that are in this country. I'm working with Vilan. That's an occasion that happens quite often in India where Christian churches get burned. Christian people get beat up and sometimes don't live through it. We don't have to put up with that. We're very blessed. Nobody's going to throw us in jail for proclaiming God's word. But that's not true in a lot of places. So when we say, I'm not able, God will provide what we need. Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28 reads this way, and we know that all things work together for good. Okay, that's cool. But then it's typified to those who love God. To those who are the called according to His purpose. We go, sometimes it's just not worth it. I'm not fighting this fight anymore. I'm done. It's just not worth it. God says it will be worth it. All things work for good for those who love God. Now, if there's no love for God there, salvation's not going to work good. You're going to look at somebody and say, how'd that work out for you? You're going to do it on your own. There's no love for God. There's nothing going on. If you go to Scripture, God says, I'll take care of it if you love me. Romans 8:1. We've heard this. Some of us have even maybe said this to ourselves. I just can't forgive myself. We've heard it from people that we've tried to teach. I'm just not where I can't be a Christian. I can't forgive myself. I've done some things that were just horrible. But that can also be true in family life, and it can also be true in work life. But in Romans 8:1, Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So we say, I can't forgive myself. Paul says, stay with God, walk according to the Spirit, God will forgive you. So the question I've got then is, if God can forgive you, then why can't you forgive yourself? It's only logical to me. But again, it comes back to those words we've been using, faith and trust in God. If the faith is weak, if the trust is weak, then we don't go to these scriptures and we don't necessarily believe what we're reading. Well, how can God forgive me? I'm such a bad person. I've done bad things. He does. It says so right here. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ who do not walk according to the flesh. Now, you can't think you're in Christ and walk in the flesh or walk in the world. You have to walk according to the Spirit. I mean, that's part of what's going on here. But he will forgive you no matter what you've done. So if God can forgive you, then we should be able to forgive ourselves. Philippians. Philippians 4, 19 and 20. We say, I can't manage. We get down on ourselves when the going gets tough. And that's true. God says, and Paul says in 4:19 and 20, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches. So, why do we think we can't manage? God will supply those needs. Again, we have to recognize the doors that he opens for us and the opportunities that are there for us. You know, it's the old saying, you can't sit at home on a couch and pray for a job and never make an application to get one. It doesn't work that way. But God will open doors for you to get there. I can't manage. God says you can manage. I'll supply all things. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 7:1-7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. That's what God gives us. We say, I'm afraid. Sometimes we don't know what's coming next. Faith and trust in God will help alleviate those kinds of fears. Paul tells Timothy, don't be afraid. I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of strength. 1 Peter 5:7. It reads, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Philippians 4:6. 4:6-7 reads, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How many times have you said to yourself, or you hear someone else say, I worry all the time and I'm frustrated all the time? Why? Be anxious for nothing, Paul tells the church in Philippi. He tells us. But by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Why do we say to ourselves, I'm always worried, I'm frustrated, I just can't do this? If our true faith is in God and we have that trust in God as we need it to be, why do we have this problem? Cast all your cares on me, God says. I just had this conversation with my sister this week. I almost died of a heart attack 20 years ago because of stress. You have to learn to let stress go. You have to learn how to cope with it. I did after that. I don't deal with it anymore. Comes up in my life, God, you take care of it. I'm done with this. And I move on. It's not easy to do. It's a learned behavior. Just like patience is a learned behavior. You just don't get it. But if you don't get stress out of your life, it will kill you. And Paul said, don't be anxious for anything. Just get rid of it, give it to God. Romans 12, 4 through 8. We say, and we've heard it said, I just don't have enough faith. Well, I guess my question is, how much is enough? We know what the faith, you know, the little mustard seed, we know what that is. It'll move mountains if you just got that much faith. In Romans 12, 4 through 8, it reads, For as have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. We need to understand that. Not everybody can be a song leader, not everybody can be a preacher. So we, being many, are one body and individually members of one another. The hands on our body don't do the same thing as the feet. The ears don't do the same thing as the eyes. Daryl and I don't do the same thing. Tracy and I don't do the same things. But what we do because God has given us that ability. Amen. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, and he who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. I don't have enough faith. God said, I've given you a measure of faith. Use it. I've given everybody a measure of faith. We strengthen this faith we've got and this measure that he's given us through study and through prayer. That's how we make it bigger. That's how we gain more faith. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy, study, show yourself approved, so you can rightly divide the word of truth. If we get to that point and we can do that, our faith is going to be a lot stronger than it is if we don't know that. 1 Corinthians 1:30. I've heard this from people about giving prayer, about doing sermons, about doing any kind of the Lord's work. I'm not smart enough. I'm just not smart enough to do that. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30 says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. God gives us the wisdom. We have the knowledge right here in our written word. Bruce said this morning, thank goodness we live in this age because we've got the whole Testament. We don't have just part of it. We've got everything. And this says we get wisdom from God. How did Solomon get wisdom? He prayed to God for it. What does wisdom do for us? It makes us smarter. It gives us faith. It gives us courage to do the things that we don't want to do. And lastly, Hebrews 13, 5. I love this verse. I've used it in several sermons. I use it in life. I use it with friends. And we get to a point sometimes where I feel all alone. I'm just on an island all by myself. Whether it be in my life that I'm walking in this world, or whether it be in my Christian life. God says in Hebrews 13, 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Be happy with what you've got. Not that we don't want more, but don't trample over everything to get more. Be happy with what you have. For he himself has said, God himself, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. the right faith, the right trust in God, He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. You never have to feel alone if you have trust and faith in God. These are just a portion of things that you hear. I'm sure you've got some you've heard, some others that, you know, that maybe belong in this list. But that's a pretty good list to start with. And it's things that we hear almost on a daily basis, especially as we listen to ourselves talk to ourselves and we listen to friends and family talk to us. We hear these words all the time. Put it in God's hands. Put your trust and faith in Him, and you won't have these issues. That's all you need to know. We issue an invitation this evening for those that may have these kinds of problems in their life, has these kinds of thinking, can't get the thinking out of your head. Go to God and pray. Go to God and talk to Him. If you need the help of this congregation or the help of these of us to do that and do it with you, not for you, but with you, we're here for that. You're never alone. You got this church family. If there's anyone here that needs to put their Lord on in baptism, we also have that open and available tonight. Today's the day. Why wait? So with all that being said, if you have a need, let us stand, let us sing. Donald, lead us in song.